You take your Bibles tonight and open them up to a couple of different spots. One of them is in 1 Thessalonians. And the other is back in the old book of 1 Chronicles. First Thessalonians chapter 5. And then 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Now tonight we're going to look at, we've been in the process of talking about what true worship is. And in the language of the church, there's many times that we call things thanksgiving, we call it praise, we call it worship. Are they all the same? Are they different? Well, God's Word tells us about each of these things, and we're going to take a look at it tonight. Because if we're truly going to worship God like He deserves to be worshipped, we need to understand what God's Word says about it. And so we're going to start out in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Be joyful always. Pray continuously. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, I want to just stop there for a minute and just talk a little bit about this verse. The first thing it says is what? Be joyful. Be joyful. How often?
Always.
Always. Even when it's not going well?
Yeah.
Even when somebody treats you bad?
Yes, sir.
Even when you can't pay your bill? We're to be joyful always, in every circumstance, right? We're supposed to be joyful always. And then it says to pray every morning. Well, it does because it's continually, so every morning's covered in that, right? Pray continuously, continually. Now, that doesn't mean we walk around praying out loud so that that's all we do is walk around praying out loud, but again, it's that connection that we have with God to say, Lord, I'm doing this right now, but I want to give you praise in what I'm doing. I want to lift you up. I want to exalt you. I want you to use me, Lord. I ask you, empty me of myself. And just the continual connection with God. And I've used this a couple of times, and you may remember it or not, but it's like calling someone on the phone and never hanging up. You just keep them on the other end of the line and keep talking to them. You know, I had this girlfriend when she was a seventh grader and I was a freshman in high school. Okay. And I would call her late at night. I wasn't really supposed to do this, but we'd just sit there with the phone and we'd talk until we finally fell asleep. And then in the morning when we woke up, she said, hey, are you there? Yeah, I'm here. You know, we could talk. So we never hung up. Right? Until my mom found out about it because my grandfather was trying to call us because my grandmother was sick. So anyway, yeah, that wasn't a good thing. But anyway, it's keeping that connection. You know, the scripture says, God says in Jeremiah 33:3, call on me and I will answer you and I will show you great and mighty things which you can't even comprehend. And I believe God wants us to keep the line open with Him. He never hangs up His end. Never. So when Paul says pray continuously, literally what he's saying is keep it open with God. You know what closes it down? Us. Something that we think or say or do causes us to draw back from God, draw into ourselves, be drawn towards something else in this world rather than be drawn to Him. So, to keep it open. And so Paul says that we are to be joyful always, we are to pray continuously, and then look at the last part in verse 18. Give thanks in every once in a while. No. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I heard a pastor say one time, he asked this lady how she was doing. She said, well, I'm doing pretty good under the circumstances. And he said, what are you doing under them? Right? Do we allow the circumstances of our life to make us be who we are? Or do we follow God no matter what the circumstances are and give Him praise anyway? Give Him thanks anyway? Follow Him anyway? So, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. To thank Him, the meaning of the word thank here literally means to personally, privately, by your attitude, give Him thanks. Now, we can give Him thanks in front of everybody else if we want to, and we should. But how often do we truly thank God? Or do we always go to God with our wish list or our need list or what we think we got to have, and we just start praying? Why don't we spend some time thanking Him for all the things that He's done? I recall we had a guy come to our church back in Fort Worth in Reda, and he did a financial seminar. And, you know, he started talking about all the things that we have. You know, and of course back then we were just married. We didn't have hardly anything. But he said, I want you to go home tonight and take your legal pad out, and I want you to start listing out everything that you own and bring it back with you in the morning to our next session. So everybody went home with their homework and did that, you know. Ours took up about 4 lines on a sheet, you know. We didn't own hardly anything. And so we came back the next day, and he says, now I want to see, you know, share with us what you own. And people would say, well, we own a car, we own our house, we own blah, 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 blah. And he says, well, you know what? You don't really own anything if you've given everything to God. He's really the giver of all good things, the Scripture says. He said, so this is what you need to do. This is what I do in my life. This is what you need to do. He said, you need to go through this list and specifically give whatever that is to God. He said, here's why. You're driving down the road, your car breaks down. Here's what you say. God, your car broke down. What are you going to do about it? And then you don't worry about it because it's God's car. We tend to think everything that we have is ours. It's not ours. It's His. And we can truly live a thankful life when we realize it's not ours. It's His. Everything we have, He's given to us. You say, well, wait a minute. I worked for it. I earned the money. Did He give you the ability to work? Did He give you the ability to think? Did He give you the when you think about it, everything we have, He's given us. And so we are to have the attitude of thankfulness in our heart all day, every day, to be thankful for what He's done. And if that's not enough, the Holy Spirit is our helper. He walks alongside us and reminds us of that. You see, not only is He the comforter, but He's also the one who, as the paraclete, walks alongside with His arm around you, and He's the reminder to say, hey, listen, God is watching over you right now. He's given you this opportunity. He's given you whatever you have. We've got to have a thankful heart. We've got to be people full of thanksgiving. So the purpose of that is to show the work of the Lord in us. You see, I think a lot of people look at us, and when we're not thankful, when we don't have the attitude of thankfulness, the attitude of gratitude, when we walk around like, you know, we're poor old us and, you know, we're barely making it, and, you know, do they see God in that? No, because my God has everything. He owns everything. He has all power. He has everything. And He's the God I serve. And He's the God who lives inside of me. And He's the God who has blessed me. And if I walk around like the rest of the world, then what's the good? What's the good in that? So the Holy Spirit walks alongside of us to help us out. It is a manifestation, by the way, of the Holy Spirit living within us to be thankful. See, because it's a reminder to us. There's times I need to be reminded. And sometimes it's God going upside my head and going, hey. Or it's if I'm walking in Him, then I'm already reminded. If I'm abiding in Him, I'm already reminded it's not me, it's not anything that I've done, it's all about Him, and I give Him thanks. I give Him thanks, you know. So anyway, that's the picture there of thanking Him in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 and 18. Now, go on back to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. So we're looking at thanksgiving and we're looking at praise now. So let's look at praise. To praise Him, what's the meaning of that? It means to declare His goodness. Look at what it says in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. Sing to Him, sing what? Praise to Him and tell of all His wonderful acts. Praising Him literally means I will with my lips share what God has done for me. Thanking Him is a more intimate, personal thing that you do to God, with God. You thank Him for the things that He's done for you. Praising Him means I am willing to let other people know what God has done in my life. It's to declare His goodness. It's an open, public action to praise Him. Thankfulness, basically, it resides in your heart. But praising can reside in the hearts of all the people together. And I don't think this is on your little handout, but the third one is we should be continually praising Him no matter what our circumstances are. In fact, verse 29, look at what it says. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Be an offering, bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. Ascribe to the Lord the glory that's due Him. It literally means to speak of His goodness. Is God good to you? All the time? And all the time? Amen. So if He's good all the time, then we need to be telling Him that. We need to be telling other people that. We need to not hold back. It's almost like we're afraid to talk about the goodness of God. Because people might think we're crazy or something. Oh, well. Because I'm crazy about God. And He's crazy about me. He's crazy about you. He loves you so much. We need to declare His goodness. What's the purpose of it? Well, here's some Hebrew words that are all combined in these passages, in specifically in 1 Chronicles and then again in 2 Chronicles, which I'm going to take you to in just a minute. The first word in Hebrew that's talked about is hallel. It's part of the word we use sometimes, hallelujah. It means to be excited and to enjoy, to be filled with the joy of the Lord. It means literally that the joy of the Lord is my strength. He's filling me up. And that word hallel means I'm excited about God. You know what? People need to see the excitement of God in us. You know, if we just walk around, do our business all the time, don't ever, you know, act like anything's different, how are they going to know? How are they going to see the change in us? How are they going to see the excitement in us? The next word is yada, which means to throw out your extended hands. Now, hold your space here in 1 Chronicles 16 and go over to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. One of my favorite passages in the Old Testament is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 because Jehoshaphat is leading the army of God against a vast army that couldn't even be numbered. And the first thing Jehoshaphat does is he inquires of the Lord, which is always the best thing to do, right? Okay. And when he does that, he asks God to come and to help them, to give them direction and everything. And so Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the temple of the Lord in front of the new courtyard and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not the God who's in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand and no one can withstand you. So he begins to praise God. In the multitude of the people that are there, he begins to praise God. So as it goes on, Jehoshaphat leads them in worshiping, praising God, talking about all of His great attributes and lifting Him up. And he's excited about the fact that even though they're going into battle, they're not on God's, you know, they're not trying to find a way that God's going to help them. They're already on God's side. And so they just began praising God. They begin praising God. And look what happens down in verse 21. I love this. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men. They're about ready to go out and meet this huge army. He appoints men to sing to the Lord and to praise Him for the splendor of His holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for His love endures forever." And they began to sing and praise the Lord. And the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. There was no battle. Well, there was, but it was a spiritual battle. They just began to praise God. And God says, "Man, I'm going to inhabit the praises of my people, and I'm going to take care of this issue because their eyes are where they need to be. They're fixed on me." And that whole huge army that was marching against them, a combination of three different armies, fell in defeat as the choir went out ahead of the army singing, and God took care of it all. Isn't that awesome? See, that's what praise does. We need to be people that are so full of praise. The third word is barak. It means to kneel in blessing God. Sometimes we just need to get down on our knees and bless Him. What does it mean to bless God? It means to pour upon Him all the things that He deserves. Has He blessed you? He certainly blessed me. I didn't deserve any of those, by the way. What I deserve, I don't want to have. But He's blessed me beyond measure. And so I want to bless His name. I want to kneel before Him and just tell Him how awesome He is. I think a lot of times when we, even in our prayer times in the morning all day as we continually pray, whatever it is, we tend to start thinking of God as our spiritual go-to so that we can get what we think we need. Right? But what if it was the other way around? What if we went to God praising Him for who He is, and He says, "Oh, and by the way, this is what you need, and I'm going to bless you with it." Because we tend to get things backwards, don't we? I do. I have to admit it. Don't want to, but I do. Zamar. It means playing an instrument with one's fingers. Literally, it means to lift up worship and praise, specifically praise, through the playing of an instrument. David was very good at that, by the way. Shabak means to shout in triumph. I talked a little bit about this Sunday. You know, we sit in here and everybody goes, but we go to a ball game and go, "Yeah, we won! That's awesome, man!" And we lift up our voices, don't we? Have you ever noticed, by the way, and I know I've said this probably before, but have you ever noticed when somebody scores a touchdown or they hit a three-pointer or whatever else, what do? They lift up their hands. Now, who taught them to do that? It's within a person to lift their hands up because I believe God wants them to lift their hands up to Him. Now you might think, well, are you trying to get us to be all charismatic and lift our hands all the time? No, I'm just trying to tell you. And by the way, if you want to lift up your hands, please do, because it's not for me and it's not for you. It's for Him. It's for Him. It's just all the other things that people connect with that, thinking, okay, well, I've got to, if I lift up my hands, then I've got to start saying something weird or talking, you know. No. Lifting up your hands in triumph, shouting out to Him. Todah means praises through thanks and through extended hands. It means like this: "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord." You know, sometimes when God's doing something that My wife and I have prayed for and prayed for and prayed for and prayed for. And He comes through. That's all we can do. Just thank Him. Just thank Him. He deserves that thanks. How horrible would it be for God to answer the prayers that we continually pray and then for us to just go, wow, I'm glad that's over. Now I'm going to go do something else. What? Give praise with a thankful heart, the Scripture says. Tehillah means singing out loud praise. Now you might say, well, my voice is not all that great. Guess what? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Unless you're leading worship. No, I'm just kidding. No, it doesn't matter. God just, He wants to hear you praise Him. And the more we praise Him together, the more the unity of the body of Christ is lifted up. You see, you can't praise God and be mad at somebody else. If you've got something between you and someone else, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to go to them and get right. And then come and offer your offering. So if you're trying to offer up a sacrifice of praise, you can't do that if you've got issues between you and somebody else. So let's come to Him clean so that we can sing out loud praise to Him. Ruha means to shout for joy. Yeah. You know what? One of these days, we'll be shouting for joy. Let's don't wait till then. You know, if God, if you're excited, let Him know. I mean, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Let's worship Him. Let's praise Him. Now, the third thing is worship. It's found in the 29th verse down here, verse 29. Ascribe to the Lord the glory that's due His name. The glory that's due His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Now, you might think, well, does that mean I have to go get my checkbook? That's not what it's talking about specifically here, although giving is part of your worship to Him. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship. Here, your offering is offering of worship. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. Worship Him. Literally means, and it comes from an old English word, worship. It's telling somebody they're worth something. The Hebrew word shaka means to fall down before Him and sense His presence. Now, have you ever noticed in Scripture every time that God made an appearance, so to speak, before someone? Or Jesus, Christophany, early on, before He actually came and was born here on this earth, confronted someone? What did they always do? They immediately fell down before Him and began to worship Him. Even when Jesus came to John to start giving him the revelation that we're going through right now, what was the first thing John did? He fell to his knees and began to worship Him. You know what? When we see Jesus, I believe that's the first thing I'm going to do, is fall on my knees and worship Him. But let's not wait till then. Let's not wait till then. Do you sense His presence? You know, there are some times I sense His presence more than others. But there are some times that He is so present. And I just need to worship Him. What's the purpose? Well, the Scripture says we were created to worship. God created us with a heart open to Him. Adam and Eve walked with God in the cool of the day, worshiping Him. They were in such close fellowship until the day they chose to go their own way. Our choice is not whether we will worship, but whom will we worship? Because you're going to worship something, by the way. We were made to worship. So are you going to worship God? You're going to worship this world? You're going to worship your home? You're going to worship your family? You're going to worship your car? You're going to worship your gun? What do you think you're going to worship? You're going to worship something. We were created to worship Him. Matthew chapter 4, you can turn to that if you'd like. Matthew chapter 4. Did I put it up there, by the way? Oh, never mind. You can look up here too. Or you can turn to it. You remember when Jesus was out in the wilderness fasting, and Satan comes to Him and says, "Man, all of this I will give you if you'll bow down and what? Worship Me." And Jesus said to him, "Away from Me, Satan, for it's written," what? "Worship the Lord your God and serve Him only." We are to worship God. We were made to worship God. And any temptation to worship anything else, whether it's a star, whether it's an athlete, what if anything, you know, I know that people tend to worship certain things by the posters they put up on their walls. By, you know, the things that they put in their houses, the things that they put, decals they put on the back of their trucks and their cars. And is it okay to have a favorite team? Sure. You know, as long as they're Cowboys, it's fine. So it's okay. Sorry about that. But Raiders, I'm sorry. But, you know, the fact is, God deserves the worship. Nobody else deserves the worship of our heart. Whoever we worship, we will end up serving. Did you know that? Whoever you worship, you will end up serving. If you worship your job, that's what you'll serve. If you worship your checkbook, that's what you're going to serve. If you worship your house, that's what you're going to serve. If you worship your family, that's what you're going to serve. Who is number one? Who deserves all the worship that we could ever give? Well, God. So worship is literally the ultimate decision that anybody will ever make, because whatever we choose to worship, we will end up serving that. You remember the tabernacle, as God told them that if they're traveling out in the wilderness, He wanted them to build a tabernacle? So the outer court represents our thanksgiving. They would come and bring their offerings, and they would thank God for the things that He had done. The holy place inside, where the priests would make offerings, the incense offerings, the table of showbread, the menorah, the holy place represented praise. And as that incense offering would go up to God, it was an offering of praise. But in the Holy of Holies, that one time of year, as the high priest would go in with trepidation, with a rope around his ankle, with the bells on the bottom of his ringing, he would go in because he knew who deserved worship. And it's God alone. Folks, help me remember, and I'll try to help you remember, that we don't meet here every time we meet just so we can say we met. We don't come together just so that we can encourage each other, although we should be doing that. And all the more as we see that day approaching, by the way, which I think we kind of see that day approaching, right? But we come because we worship Him. We don't come to worship Him, although we will do that together in a corporate fashion. We come because we worship Him. This is what He's commanded us to do. This is what He's desiring for us to do, is to truly worship Him. There will be a day when we won't have to even remember any of this any longer. And that day will be an awesome day. And on that day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the what? Glory of God the Father. We will worship Him together. And so shall it be forever and forever and forever. Let's somehow put a sticky note in our brain that today is a day of worship. Tomorrow is a day of worship. If God gives you another day, it's a day of worship. And I want to worship Him. I want Him to know He's everything to me. He's just not a God. He's my Heavenly Father. And He loves me like no one else could ever love me. And He provides everything I will ever need. Everything. So let's worship Him because He deserves to be worshipped. Father, I thank You for this opportunity tonight to come and again look into Your Word just to be reminded, Father, because we need it. You know, we'll walk out of here tonight and before long we'll be thinking about all kinds of other things. And I know You've given us a brain to be able to function and think about certain things, but Lord, I pray that Your Holy Spirit will be so strong in our lives. You'll just be continually reminding us that the reason we're here is not so that we can make a living, not so that we can raise a family, not so that we can pay off a house, not so. The reason we're here is because You called us to be Your ambassadors and to make Your appeal through us. And the way that we can do that better than anything else is to be a worshiper. Because when You are on first base in our life, then You take over all bases in our life. When You're on the throne of our life, You, in fact, will receive the worship in our life. And the people that we talk to and serve and make friends with and whatever else that You, whoever else You bring into our life, we'll have the opportunity to share what worship is all about. It's lifting You up, placing You high because You deserve it. And Lord, I pray we'll do that. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, folks.